Yeah, there is no way, Slee, that this has been a week already, right? I just when you think we're going to get to do a couple in a row, then Laker basketball gets in the way. All of these other things. But that week went by fast, right?
Yeah, incredibly disrespectful by the Lakers to take away some of our shows. I mean, I just don't get it. I just don't get it these days, Trav.
Well, maybe we should get an all-star break, like, I don't know, four or five times a season so we can start knocking out some of these shows.
Let me tell you why tonight's going to be an excellent show.
Hit me.
The Washington Wizards, my Washington Wizards, just
beat
the Clippers.
Yeah, I saw you tweet something about the Wizard Nation or
something
Wizard
like Nation.
That.
Yeah, when basically, let me kind of explain how this works.
All right.
When the Clippers lose, I become the biggest fan of the team that just beat them. Like, I'm down right now to go get a Wizards jersey. I can't think of a player right now. Give me an old school Wizards guy.
Wes Unseld.
I will go online right now and buy a Wes.
So are you surprised that I went that far back?
Yeah, I wasn't
like,
expecting.
Like, were you thinking
that,
like Rip Hamilton or something like that? Is that how you want to go back?
Was not
Jordan?
Expecting that. But I will say this: it puts the Lakers now third place in the NBA. We'll take it. We'll take it.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, where I wanted to start, Slee, is the idea, you know, it's the All-Star break, which is good for a variety of reasons, the top of which is that we get to do a whole bunch of shows next week, which will be awesome. The second is that it's kind of a time to take a step back and reassess and see what it is and what needs to be fixed, what you liked in the first half, what you don't like in the second half. And it's a weird first half for the Lakers because there really isn't anything that you deeply dislike, at least I don't. There are a couple of things that you'd like to see cleaned up along the way, but as far as first half of the season go, considering where they started, considering that they were coming off of a very short season, integrating a lot of new players, I'm pretty pleased with where they are right now. I thought that was a pretty good first half, 24-13. I think that at the beginning of the season, if you would have said to anybody, hey, look, you're going to win twice as often as you lose, everybody takes that.
Well, I think, you know, take everything into consideration, and there's a lot of things that go into consideration for the Lakers. So this is what we do know. Nothing's changed that there's a small handful of teams that can win a championship this year. Of course, Lakers, and I would say right now, most would say the front runners, Brooklyn in the East, Lakers in the Western Conference. Yes, there's some ifs. There's question marks. Are they going to be healthy? How's Anthony Davis going to be? There's some things there. I'm not saying that the Lakers team is perfect, but that's one thing we obviously learned. LeBron looks as good as he did last season, so age or mileage has not been an issue so far. He's one of a short list of MVP candidates. I thought Montrezl Harrell, Dennis Schroeder, this is the first time we obviously got to see them in a Lakers jersey. They're as good as advertised. We'll see how they do in the second half of the season. Record, listen, it's not great. It's not like we're saying the Lakers have the best record in the NBA, but it gets the job done.
It doesn't matter if they have the best record in the NBA, right? I mean, it doesn't matter to me. Like, watching the game last night, Slee, a couple of things jumped out at me. Number one, I loved how they competed. They did not have about half their team last night. I mean, they were missing.
They came to play, too.
And they absolutely came to play. They really, really fought hard last night. They got a couple of bad calls. They had the foot on the line of Buddy Hield, the tee on Harrell, a couple of things that didn't go their way. They didn't have their two best players. They didn't have two other guys that play major minutes, and they could have easily won that game. I know that they didn't, and there are no moral victories in the NBA, but I really liked what I saw from them because that means those guys are going to be ready to go once the other guys come back. And instead of asking them to do big roles, small roles, they're going to kill it.
If you look at – if I try to find the negatives of the first half of the season, Trav, what I would say is, of course, everybody's going to have to wait and see on Anthony Davis, but the beauty is we're just in March and you still got 80 days or so until the playoffs start or whatever the case is. Missed 14 of 37 games, by the way, and they're still sitting at the record you said, 24-13. Role players, I think there's some holes potentially on the roster. You'd like to see KCP play better. You'd like to see more consistent. I mean, Wes Matthews and Marc Gasol, I don't think have panned out the way you wanted them to when the offseason started and you signed those two guys. But ultimately, at the end of the day, even with going 3-10 over the final 10 games, missing Anthony Davis, Marc Gasol health and safety protocols, Dennis Schroeder misses four games. I don't know. Can you really complain that much about the Lakers? I can't, and I know – get an opportunity to do the post-game show, it's not uncommon for people to complain and find things to point at. I just look big picture. I think this team is fine.
Yeah, no, the Laker fans are the best. The Laker fans are the best for a couple of different reasons. Number one, they're terribly, terribly loyal, which is great. But number two is...
And spoiled.
Well, terribly spoiled, mm-hmm. but also terribly unrealistic a lot of the time. This idea that it almost feels like every time the Lakers lose, there's
I'm one of those guys sometimes, by the way.
That wants to rewrite, well, okay, what are they going to fix? Nothing. Mm-hmm. They lost, man. You play 82 games in a regular way. They're playing 70 this year, 72, whatever it is. You're going to lose 25 of those games. It's just that's the way it goes. That's a really good team is going to lose. You're not the Chicago Bulls or the Warriors where you're going to lose a small handful or two of games. Everything is fine. The only thing that you look at moving forward, for me at least, Lee, is AD. Mm-hmm. And just the uncertainty surrounding that injury. The idea of, yes, they're resting. Yes, they're being cautious. Yes, everybody's saying the right things, that it's a calf injury and it's the sheath surrounding the Achilles and all these things. But he's a 7-foot guy with an Achilles injury or near an Achilles injury that's missed a lot of time, and you just don't know what it's going to be when he comes. That's the only part of the equation for me that makes me feel a little uneasy.
Which, if we were in May, I'd feel a lot more uneasy as well, but we're not. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the one part where you can walk into the All-Star break knowing Anthony Davis is getting a significant amount of time off and probably going to get more rest than he probably needs, but they're going to do it because they're going to, you know, remain extremely cautious. You know, Trav, I just don't like your expectations anymore. I mean, 33-4 is what I called over the first 37 games. This is ridiculous. I don't know what more you want me to tell you.
We got our first tweet of the night, Slee, and mm-hmm. it's for you, basically.
Can only imagine.
It's
only
from
imagine.
TFP, and it says, Slee is the Drake of anyone who beats the Clippers. Are you okay with that?
Absolutely okay with that. Absolutely okay with that. You know, there's certain things you used to do when you're like 15 or 16 years old. As you get older, you get away from those things. For instance, as in tweeting out Wizards Nation after the Wizards beat the Clippers, okay, acting like an 11-year-old, things along those lines, you kind of go away from that. I'm almost digging my heels even further in that one.
You know, it's funny. Like the idea about the Clippers being the biggest threat, it just doesn't feel like that. And I'm not going to do the thing where I pretend the Clippers aren't good. They are good, but they don't feel like a threat. Last year, they did. Last mm-hmm. year, it felt like, and maybe it was just because the idea of the bubble and the uncertainty surrounding that, and everybody was kind of starting from
scratch.
And
I think they took the first two against the Lakers. Uh-huh. I think that had obviously a lot to do with it as well. I was just going to say, Trav, you were just mentioning... I've almost convinced myself that, no, that's still the biggest threat. So I hear what you're saying, right? And some may say, no, it's going to be the Utah Jazz or maybe it's the Phoenix Suns. I think I've still convinced myself, no, it will be Lakers and Clippers, and it will come down to those two teams in the Western Conference to represent. And the Clippers will obviously be an underdog if AD is AD. But I think I've still convinced myself it's still the Clippers, Lakers-Clippers.
Yeah, I don't know if there is – I'm not saying that they can't lose a series. They can. But the list of teams that can beat them is probably
– Who are you worried about in the West?
Utah. Mm-hmm. Utah, because they've got two guys that are very scary to me, and the Clippers have one. The Clippers have one guy that's scary to me, and that's Kawhi. Paul George doesn't scare me. I know he's really good. I know that he can do a lot of different
things. The guy hits the side
of
the backboard one time in an important game. All of a sudden, he's not.
he did a little more than that.
Well, he's done that a lot.
He's hit mm-hmm. the side of the backboard most recently.
How weird.
But he violated one of my rules, Slee. You ready? He violated one of my rules, which is he gave himself a nickname. You can't do that. Mm. Someone else has to give you a nickname.
Yeah.
You can't self-nickname yourself. You need to have somebody else come up with it. And when he went with Playoff P, mm-hmm. long before there was a bunch of playoff success, that's all you needed to know. That was the beginning of, oh, he's one of those guys. Got it. And then he started caving in the side of backboards.
I'm going to go Lottery Slee. Lottery Slee. We don't even make the playoffs. By the way, we haven't even we got a big one.
Yeah.
An amazing, amazing interview coming up here in a few minutes. So for Laker fans, coming up at 7:15, Jeannie Buss, nice enough to take some time and join the show. Trav, excited about that. I cannot tell you how excited I am to connect with Jeannie.
I can't wait to talk to her because, you know, honestly, there are just not too many people in her position, owner of a team, the face of the team, that are as accessible as she is. They just you think about it. You think about other owners and other teams. There are some that are around, and there are but they're not very many, and there are very few that are as accessible. You know this. When you go to a Laker game, and this was obviously pre-pandemic, everybody knows where she sits. She's not in a box somewhere. She's sitting right there. She'll take pictures. People come up to her and talk. It's like nothing I've ever seen. I've been around other teams, other owners, other places. There's nothing like it.
By the way, I've seen where you sit at Laker games, and let me just say, your ego through the roof. A lot of times you're saying, I don't know if you know me, but I pitched at UCSB, and I hear that come out a lot. I'm like, Trav, they actually were just asking you which direction was the restroom.
Well, I will say this: the Gauchos are 7-1. They're off to a very, very good start. They open up a four-game series.
Here comes the ego.
Tomorrow.
Ego always comes.
I'm just saying, you brought it up. I was not kidding. I was not going to open the show with Gaucho baseball, but there you have it. So Slee just mentioned it. Jeannie Buss is going to join us coming up next. We'll talk about the first half of the Lakers season. We'll get into all things Lakers. Jeannie Buss joining us next. Travis and Slee on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, welcome back to the Travis and Sliwa Show. Want to welcome in CEO and governor of the Los Angeles Lakers, Jeannie Buss, nice enough to take some time and join the show. Jeannie, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
We greatly, greatly appreciate the time. And, you know, Jeannie, I've got a chance these, obviously, since the season started, being across the street at Staples Center, and I can only imagine how much you miss being at Staples, Laker Nation, 19,000 fans. How much are you looking forward to the day that we could get back to seeing Laker fans and obviously everybody being at Staples Center?
That day is hopefully coming soon. And when it happens, then I'll really feel like winning that championship actually happened and it wasn't just a dream. That's been the missing piece for us is our fans. And I think, you know, it's been tough for the team, you know, having such a short turnaround from, you know, becoming champions and a short off season to starting another season yet again without fans to play. Our fans, our Laker Nation fans, you know, they're sorely missed, and I'm hoping that we're one day closer to making that a reality.
Yeah, Jeannie, it's funny you say that because, you know, Alan and I spoke with you right after you guys won the championship earlier in the fall, and has it changed? Does it feel more real as the defending champs trying to go back to back? Does it sunk in a little bit, or until you get the people and the parade and everything that goes along with it, does it still feel like there's just a little bit something that hasn't happened?
It doesn't feel that it actually happened. And, you know, I just know how much Laker fans love this team, love to be a part of, you know, the success that the team's having on the court. They're a big part of that. And they have been missed. And, you know, I get chills just thinking about what the crowd will be like once we're back at capacity at Staples Center.
Jeannie Buss, nice enough to take some time joining the Travis and Sliwa Show here on 710 ESPN. Jeannie, we wrapped up the first half of the season last night. Just your overall thoughts. What do you think so far? Obviously, a lot of circumstances for the Lakers in regards to injuries, health and safety protocols that's affected every team out there. What do you think so far of the first half of the season?
You know, it's funny because, you know, in all the years that I've been involved with the Lakers and obviously being in a relationship with Phil Jackson, one thing I learned is that the All-Star break is really kind of that, you know, point in the season that everybody kind of gets to take a breath and kind of catch up and get some rest and, you know, just get a mental break from the monotony of the season. And I think that this All-Star break, you know, we kind of hopped along to get through it. And, you know, what's important is that we get the team back healthy and at full strength in time for the playoffs and, you know, defend our crown.
Jeannie Buss joining us here on Travis and Sliwa 710 ESPN. Other than coming on nighttime radio shows, what do you do on your All-Star break, Jeannie?
You know, that's a really good point. You know, usually the All-Star game is a big extravaganza, you know, encompassing 3 days of activities. So this year was supposed to be in Indianapolis, but obviously it's been changed. And with the protocols, they really don't want a crowd to gather in Atlanta. So I will not be going to Atlanta for this game. But I'll be watching. I think it's going to be really exciting to have all that activity kind of crammed into one event-filled night. And, you know, this is really important for the players. It's a privilege to be named an All-Star, especially by the fans. And, you know, it's really, you know, the fans' dream to see all these All-Stars together on the court at the same time. And I think they make it a lot of fun by players drafting each other for the games. And, you know, the format, I think, has proven to be exciting after last year's All-Star game. You know, I'll just be at home doing what I usually do, which is walking the dog and you know, watching the game on TV.
Well, I'll tell you what, every Laker fan will be enjoying the game on Sunday and obviously getting a chance to watch LeBron James. Jeannie, I want to stay on LeBron for a second here. So last night he misses his first game of the season. How would you describe what he's doing at age 36, captain of the All-Star team again, a chance to win another MVP? How would you describe LeBron this season? And if you, you know, kind of want to take a more macro look at it, what he's done so far with the Lakers?
You know, I was, you know, a person when LeBron was drafted into the league, you know, he was phenomenal from day one. But since he's become a Laker, I've really grown an affection and an admiration for him as a person and as a professional. He is so focused. He everything he does has purpose. He doesn't waste energy on things that don't matter. And, you know, he wanted his intention when he joined the Lakers was to bring us back to championship level, and he delivered us a championship. And, you know, I think anything is possible with him. He has the mindset, he has the will, he has the brains, he's got the strength. He could do anything. I mean, I really feel like I've met a real life superhero in LeBron James. And, you know, so I think anything can happen, and I'll be, you know, looking forward to the second half of the season.
Jeannie Buss joining us here on Travis and Sliwa. Jeannie, Alan and I were talking last week before you came on about how accessible you are to fans. You know, we've both been inside the building a million times and seen you taking pictures and talking with fans and interacting with everybody. Why is that important to you? Why have you made it a point to be accessible to Laker fans?
You know, I feel the same joy that they do. I'm a fan as well. And, you know, when I meet a Laker fan, I have an instant connection with them. Usually my first question is, who's your favorite Laker? And that gets the conversation
Magic.
Going, you know, and I get all different kinds of answers and I enjoy it. And I love interacting with Laker fans. That's one of the best parts of my job.
You know, Jeannie, obviously, and this isn't just Travis and I being on Sports Talk Radio, but looking at other franchises, other sports, it's so unique what the Buss family has built. And, of course, your dad, the foundation of that, the great Dr. Jerry Buss. I look at certain organizations out there, and for some of them, they might win one championship, and that's it. I guess a question I got for you, and you know, you could kind of describe how much of this comes from your father. there is this drive. It's never enough. You know what I mean? And after winning a championship, it's okay, let's go on to the next one. What is some of that mindset within the family, and how much of that comes from your father as far as your day-to-day of what you do today?
You know, it's hard to win a championship. I mean, it's really, you know, I think what my father started and what I hope that I've built on is that what our responsibility is to bring the resources together so that the players, that the talent can, you know, have the best opportunity to succeed. And, you know, you can't force a team to win a championship. It has to come from them. It's from their heart. It has to be authentic. It has to be organic. And if you can put all the pieces together, then, you know, you give them the opportunity and they have to take it over the finish line. So, you know, it's really finding the talent and giving them everything that they need to, you know, meet their own expectations and perhaps even exceed them. And, you know, it's, you know, my dad, one of the first things he did once he bought the Lakers was draft Magic Johnson. And Magic Johnson, you know, that is somebody who knows how to win, has the will to win and the desire. And he led that team. You know, I think my dad was happy to win one championship, but you know, when everything is clicking and the chemistry is there, then it's an energy on its own. And, I think we have the right talent in place, the right coaching staff. I think Frank Vogel and his staff have done an amazing job this year, keeping the team motivated after such a short off season. So I like to think that I'm following in my dad's footsteps, that I am putting all the right people in all the right places so that they can be the best that they can be.
Jeannie, any idea on when we might be able to see people inside of Staples Center? Obviously, there's state regulations, local regulations, and everything else, but have you gotten any indication on best-case scenario, worst-case scenario?
I don't have any indication. I mean, myself personally, I'm hoping that as we, get past the All-Star break and to the end of the month and beginning of April, that maybe there'll be some, you know, as the cases continue to decrease. But it's important for people to know that we're not through this yet, that they still have to wear their masks. They still have to practice social distancing, and, you know, hopefully we can extinguish this virus. But, you know, we are under the orders of the state and the county, and, you know, we will abide by whatever, the health experts say is safe, because I will not risk one Laker fan. I don't want to lose any of them. And I will protect them, and I will do whatever I can to make sure that they're safe and that, we don't lose any of them, because they're all important to me.
Jeannie, final one. What do you think we should expect here in the second half of the season with the Lakers, and what do you expect the rest of the way?
I kind of liked seeing some of the other guys play last night. I would have rather we had won the game, but I just like seeing, you know, the new guys that weren't on the team last year getting more playing time, you know, having Dennis Schroeder, all the new guys getting time and then how well they complement each other. I usually don't talk basketball, but, I want to see more time for the guys that usually don't get part of the rotation and see what they can do and watch them grow their game.
It's going to be exciting. I know every Laker fan is incredibly excited to see the second half of the season, and obviously the Lakers have a chance of defending their championship. Jeannie, we cannot thank you enough. Greatly appreciate it. I know from myself, from Travis, from the station. Thank you very, very much for taking the time and doing this. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you having me. Thank you.
All right, thank you. That's Jeannie Buss right there. I'm good, Trav. I don't have to do anything else anymore. I mean,
you're going to take the rest of the night off?
To get to talk to Jeannie right at the halfway point, I'm good to go. So you take it from here.
Deal. No, it's just it doesn't go like that very often. You don't get access to people like that in the middle of the season. Almost never. It's just it's extraordinary. And now, you know what, Slee, I want to do? I want to come back and I want to talk about something she mentioned about LeBron, because I think LeBron obviously is on the short list for MVP. We're going to pick some halfway point NBA award winners, but I want to get into something specific she said about LeBron James and him coming to LA. That's
Let's
coming up
it.
Next. Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. You know what I like, Slee?
What do you got?
I like that we've gotten, a couple of segments into the show, about a half hour, give or take, and we haven't had our Brenda Walsh moment, our Bacon moment, or you being exposed as an in-and-out imposter. I think today may be the first time we get through an entire show without something that makes me go, what am I doing here?
Yeah, things have changed, Trev. A lot has changed since the last show that we had.
Have you reevaluated your terrible
no, bacon is overrated
on these things?
Brenda is the most beautiful thing these eyes have ever seen.
Oh, boy. Did you finally go to In-N-Out? Have you tried it yet?
What are you doing here?
I just feel like you maybe didn't have a firm grasp of what was going on.
Could I tell you something? I kind of thought about things over the last couple weeks. I'm like, you know, you have some people who tweet in, and a lot of it is food-related. Okay, so I thought Travis wants to talk about food. I'm going to talk about you're at a different level. Like, there is no competition when it comes to this. When you warm up with two hot dogs, when you start explaining, well, Kershaw doesn't just go out and just start pitching. He's got to warm up. That's your analogy of how many hot dogs you have before you actually get eating. You're in a different class.
You got to warm up. You got to stretch. You got to do all the things important for athletics, just like you do for eating. Here's one, a quick one, Slee. This is from Steve. It says, Slee opens both ends of the bread bag and opens with a heel sandwich. You don't eat the heels of the loaf of bread, do you?
The ends of them?
Yeah.
Of course I eat the ends of the loaf of bread.
Why?
Why not?
Because that's just there to keep the inside nice and fresh. Those are basically just like
is this
guardrails on a freeway.
Is this,
you know, so in case you kind of go off, it'll bump you back in the middle. Those heels are the guard rolls of the loaf of bread.
Is this the kind of luxury life that you live, that country club kind of life?
Well, Key tried to explain it this morning on his show about where I live, and tried to explain the difference between Travis and sweet tea. I don't think we need to get into that right now. We can do it
another time.
That's right. All right. I want to talk about something that Jeannie said a second ago, and thanks again to her for coming on with us. That's incredibly generous.
Thank you to Lakers PR, too, by the way, for helping making that happen.
Thank you, Allison, and everyone else over there. Appreciate that a great deal. I think it's funny that you asked her what you asked her, Slee, because just to give everybody a little bit of a background, Alan and I are not in the same place. I'm at home, Alan's in the studio, and so we're not able to kind of figure out exactly what everybody else is going to ask. And you literally asked her the thing that I was going to ask her next, because I think it's fascinating, and that is basically about LeBron, that what do you know about him that you didn't know prior to him becoming a Laker? And I loved her answer, because she basically, look, we all knew he's going to be a great player. Mm-hmm. We all knew he's going to come into this league and be a fantastic basketball player. But seeing what he's become as a dude, seeing what he's become as a leader, seeing what he's become as a voice. Off the court, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I don't think that I've been a LeBron fan since he came into the league. I like LeBron in Cleveland. I like LeBron in Miami. And I love LeBron here in L.A. But it's only when you get to see him every single night, when you get to see what the team looks like with him and without him, that same team. And last night was the first night that LeBron hadn't played all season long.
Mm-hmm.
you just really start to appreciate it in a whole nother way. We know he can score points and drop dimes and get rebounds in defense, and we know he's a great basketball player, but what he brings to a team, all those intangible things, what he brings to an organization, all of those intangible things, you need to be around it every night to really appreciate it, and I think that Laker fans are finally getting what LeBron James is all about.
Well, I think also, too, I mean, listen, use us as an example. We didn't watch him every night, you know, when he wasn't with the Lakers, so yeah, I'm watching his playoff games, but I'm not going out of my way to watch him and the Wizards, right? There is a different type of appreciation at this stage of his career because Travis 36 years old and him and Embiid are the only two you're talking about at potential MVPs. And you remember when he was in high school and the hype around him in high school? The dude surpassed every expectation you possibly can. I mean, you can't get any more hype coming in. Zion got hype. LeBron got a different level type of hype, and that was before social media, 18 years ago, whatever the case is. And I only mention that because here's somebody now in his 18th year still slicing and dicing, still making it happen on night in, night out basis. And it is cool to kind of hear Genie say it's a different level now that he's here and I see him every night.
Yeah, he's different. He's different physically. He's different mentally. He's different just in every possible way that you can be as an athlete or as a famous person. Like you said, he was famous when it was hard to be famous, if that makes any sense. You actually had to do something to become famous at that point. And he was that. Now it's a little bit different where you can be notorious or infamous and they kind of get all mixed
like look
together.
At your Instagram account with some of the photos that you've put up, right?
What do you mean? Which ones?
I'm just kidding. Isn't how people get famous now? They just throw up a couple photos on Instagram?
Unless people are super into pictures of golf courses and ballparks, food. My Instagram food. Yeah,
that's what you should be doing. You should be posting a lot of food.
You mentioned that the MVP race between Embiid and LeBron. You don't want to put James Harden in there?
Definitely not. You know, Harden, first, how many games did he play with the Rockets before he eventually went to Brooklyn? I want to say you can almost not count about 10 games so far this season. Harden's fantastic. Don't get me wrong. James Harden's fantastic. But I don't think he's in the conversation. Didn't start in Brooklyn. The way he started in Houston, where he pretty much rolled out of bed and said, let me just go to work. By the way, he was still dropping 30 and 40 points. But him and I looked like we had the same physique coming into training camp. That's not good for the Rockets and James Harden. So, I wouldn't put Harden in, would you?
I go back and forth. I don't want to put him in for a couple of different reasons. Number one, I hate the way he plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just aesthetically speaking, I don't like the way he plays. I don't.
Michael
like
called
this.
Him doughy during one of the broadcasts.
Well, he is. He is. I don't like him aesthetically.
It's not a good thing.
But I also really deeply don't like how he got out of Houston. Not that he. I'm okay with him wanting out. I'm okay with him saying, I don't want to be here. Send me someone else. I'm okay with that. Players get traded, and they have nothing to do with it. So if they want to go somewhere else, I think that's fine,
too. If you want to leave the show, how would you leave the show? Would you not take James Harden's?
Well, see, it wouldn't work the same way because James Harden basically ate his way out of Houston, and that's just kind of my normal deal. Maybe I could go on a hunger strike. Maybe that I wouldn't be very good at it. I don't
You'd
think
be
I'd
so
last
ripped
an
and so
show.
Cut. And it was like, what happened to Travis? He's trying to get off the Travis and Sliwa show.
That's right. He wants out, so he's decided to go to only one burrito.
He's not eating.
As opposed to multiple.
Any word, by the way, yet on what's in the burrito or still?
No, we're not even close. In fact, we've backed up a little bit. The whole In-N-Out thing really sent me for a loop, so I'm just going to kind of
I went back and listened to that when I was describing it. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm trying to think of me, what I was trying to describe.
Well, you opened up with double cheeseburger, which was a swing.
And then I had some guy hit me on Twitter, basically the thumbs down on Twitter, like, don't get Sliwa's order. I'm like, thank you, man. Thank you. That's is that what we're doing? Going on Twitter, he's showing a photo of him at In-N-Out, and he's got a thumbs down. I'm like, all right, whatever it takes.
My order was far better, much better received.
You're a vet in the game. In the In-N-Out game and in the food game, I mean, it's different level.
It's the 10,000-hour rule. You know this thing, right? That to become an expert at anything, you got to spend about 10,000 hours just kind of doing it. And I think that I've done my time at In-N-Out. But James Harden is not an MVP because you cannot quit for 10 games.
That's my point, right?
The MVP. No, but here's the rubs, Lee. The dude is absolutely out of his mind.
He's a baller
right now. He's doing a lot of this without Kyrie and KD.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. No, you know what's funny? I'm glad you said that, because I think that that could go a totally different way when Kevin Durant comes back. Not because of anything Kevin Durant's going to do, and not because of anything that James Harden's going to do, and not necessarily of anything that Kyrie's going to do, but all of a sudden, it's a little bit like what the Warriors did at the beginning, where they're trying to figure each other out, how this all works together. They haven't had a lot of time together. And so it's not unlike the Lakers, the difference being Anthony Davis and LeBron have an entire season together under their belt, which resulted in a championship. So they can kind of pick up where they left off. I don't know if the same thing's true with the Nets.
Trav, I think you're going to be surprised. I think there's a lot of fans out there, too. When that trade first went down, there was some criticism to it. But I guess for me, I'm not worried about them. I'm really not. That's a legitimate threat. What I do get concerned about is where Andre Drummond and some of these other buyout players are going to go, because can't get them to the Brooklyn doesn't need any more help. So let's keep it at that.
You got LeBron as your MVP for the first half of the season?
Yeah, listen, and there's a couple reasons why. LBJ has played 38% of the games this year without Anthony Davis. Granted, they're 7-7 without him, and I think they're 3-7 since he left in that Denver game. So it's not like the Lakers are mowing through teams with just LeBron. But Dennis Schroeder was out. You know, you obviously a couple different guys, health and safety protocols. The West is a lot better than the Eastern Conference. I think you got to keep that one into play.
No. That's not true. I've been told for years that the only reason LeBron went to the finals every year is because the West was hard and the East was easy.
Ah, that's right. Yeah, that's my bad.
Did you forget about that?
Yeah, I'm going to take that one out. Let me take that one out. Right. And Trav, last one. Freaking guy's 36. You know, we hear all these politicking about MVPs, and I said this. We were talking about it, you know, I think a couple weeks ago. I was saying that it's been 7 years since he won MVP. It's the stupidest award I've ever heard of. If the best player in the world, the most valuable player in the world, that through his prime from 29 to 35 has not won the MVP. So what kind of stake do I take into that award?
All you need to do to make the case for LeBron as MVP is show people last night's game against the Kings. That's it. Like, you don't think that he's the most valuable player? Because I've seen the Sixers without Embiid. I've seen the Nets without Harden. Mm-hmm. And I just got my first look at the Lakers without LeBron James. And it was a flashback to those teams from a few years ago that had to fight and claw to beat bad teams. And that's what they had to do last night. And it's no disrespect to the guys that are out there. They battled hard, but LeBron just makes everything easier for everybody. And that's the definition of value, most valuable.
I got a better example. Forget yesterday's game. How about when LeBron tries to go get a 3-4 minute breather in the middle of a game?
Right.
You know what I mean? All of a sudden, everything changes. They don't know how to... everybody on the floor, just their confidence level is completely different.
Anthony Davis get anything this year? Missing all that time, it's just all.
No, I don't think he gets anything.
He gets nothing, right? All NBA, it's just too much time missed.
By the way, you know, Rudy Gobert, everybody talks about him Defensive Player of the Year, and he's won it obviously a couple times. Is it just me? But every time Gobert plays, you saw what Joel Embiid did to him a couple nights ago.
He abused him.
Demolished him, okay? Yeah. And then you see what Anthony Davis does on him every time they play against each other. I mean, I get Gobert is a fantastic player, but when the elite of the elite centers go up against Rudy Gobert, he's not Rudy Gobert. So I think you got to take that into consideration.
So you say he's got a little Paul George in him. When it's go time, he's a little less go-y.
Man, PG. He's got to come up with a new nickname. What would be a better nickname?
Ooh, that's good. We should turn that over to Twitter, at Travis Rogers, at Alan Sliwa. Send us our tweets, your tweets along there. All right, so we talked a lot about the Lakers, and we'll continue to talk about them a little bit more, but I kind of want to change it up and go to a best-case, worst-case scenario for some of the other teams that are getting ready right now, namely the Dodgers and the Rams. What's the best thing that could happen? What's the scariest thing that could happen? That's coming up next. Travis and Sliwa, 710 ESPN. Good advice. That should be carved into a piece of wood or chipped into some stone and hung on a wall for future generations to understand.
It reminds me of like somebody that plays a professional game and then they go back in for another workout. You know, they got that extra gear. I feel like, Travis, you got different gears when it comes to the eating game.
Yeah,
let's put it that way.
Absolutely. All right, a couple of quick tweets here, Slee. This one is from Just Being Me. This says, that's why I love Jeannie so much. She gets it. I, too, enjoyed seeing the other players get some shine last night. Mm. We lost the game, but it was competitive and exciting. Shout out to Jeannie. Yeah, I think we're a little spoiled here in LA for a variety of different reasons, but that's a very good example of it. You're not, that doesn't happen on other NBA teams, other NFL teams. It's very, very rare to hear the person that's calling all the shots just come on and shoot the breeze like that.
Trav, I got a quick story. So this is on Dr. Jerry Buss, all right? So her dad, back in the day, Lakers would have a preseason game every single year down in San Diego. You know, they have that one. They'll do one in Anaheim. They'll do one. So when I was, I don't know, I was maybe 12, 13 years old, something along those lines. And I remember seeing him. There's certain people, it's kind of funny, the athletes I don't really get that starstruck with. But then, you know, at the time, I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the freaking owner of the Lakers. And you got, you got just so much respect for, you know, what he's done. Long story short, I stopped by and I just, whatever I said to him, right? Dr. Jerry Buss, just want to say hi. I'm a kid, right? You should just see this guy. He was so happy to just see somebody else excited to see him. I'm so glad you're a Laker fan. I had a Laker visor. He signed the Laker visor. I still have it to this day, right? Mm-hmm. And when you were asking, Jeannie, you were talking about how she's so accessible. If you go to a Lakers game, it's not that tough to go say hello to Jeannie and say how much you, whatever it is, whatever kind of conversation. Now she says, who's your favorite player? That's the first thing that she asks. I think she gets a lot of that from her dad. I mean, that's a story that I'll that stays with me, and I'm sure a lot of people have that same story with Jeannie, that type of story.
You know what it is, I think, to kind of boil it down a little bit, that a lot of these entities, whether it's a corporation or whether it's an individual that owns these teams, almost all of them, let me rephrase that, all of them are interested in making a buck, okay? But there are very few of them where that isn't the number one priority. I think the Lakers are one of those few teams. That the Lakers obviously are a business and they're run like a business, and the Lakers are a profitable business, no question about it. But they want to win. That is the most important thing, that the Lakers want to win games, that Jeannie Buss and her dad wanted to connect with people in this. They want to meet Laker fans. They want to talk to Laker fans. They want to hear from Laker fans. That's not the case. They want to make, they being other owners of other teams, they want to make some money. They want to put butts in
seats.
That's
all they care about, the bottom line.
The bottom line, and if they happen to win, fine. That would be better. I'd rather they want to make money first, and then somewhere down further on the checklist is to win a championship. The Lakers at the top of the list is to win, and that's rare. And it comes through so terribly obviously when you talk to her.
It is incredibly unique, all right? It's incredibly unique. Just go look at other sports franchises. Lakers played the Kings yesterday. You know the last time the Sacramento Kings were in the playoffs? It was 14 years ago. You know they've been around just because Michael Thompson asked me 94 trivia questions during the pregame show. They've been around since 1923. They have one championship. It was in 51 or 52 or something along those lines. There's a lot of franchises that don't give a you-know-what. So I think there is something. There's this different type of respect to the Lakers because when they were down, Laker fans, of course, let them know, but it was 10 years since they won a championship, and then they won a championship. So that is not a long time in the big picture of things, so you got to respect that.
No, absolutely. All right, one more quick one here. This is from John in Huntington Beach of Fullerton. This is my favorite shows of yours so far, by far, specifically because you haven't taken a Paul in Huntington Beach call. Look, everybody's welcome, John. Everybody should call all around anytime they want. For instance,
let me just say this, the fact that somebody else is calling out somebody else that they haven't tweeted, how is that person not right now tweeting as we're sitting here talking?
Well, there you go. We'll get to a bunch of calls. Let me make sure I get this one right. 877-710-ESPN. See, I got it right.
Whose
on
numbers are you
today.
Giving out these days?
You never know. I might give yours out if you're not careful.
I got to tell you a story. I could do it later on, but I got to tell you a story that has exactly that leading up to post game. I'll tell you the story later.
All right. Let's do this right now. We spent a lot of time talking about the Lakers. Best case, worst case scenario for a couple of different teams. Let's start with the Rams right now. I went on with Key, Jay Will, and Z this morning, and they were asking me the question about the best case and worst case scenario for the Rams. And I'll be honestly, I think that the Rams have gotten about 90% of the way home on best case scenario because they swapped out the quarterback. Hmm. That was the piece that needed to happen. Jared Goff was the thing that was preventing them from being outstanding, and Jared Goff is no longer here. Matt Stafford is in. As far as best case scenarios go, they got out from underneath that contract, cost them a little bit to do it, but the best case scenario is almost right here already.
So Stafford shines in L.A. That's the best case scenario, right? Mm-hmm. And you do figure out that the quarterback play of Goff was the difference of you making a legitimate run for a Super Bowl, and then you cap it off with a Super Bowl, which, by the way, isn't it here? Isn't it next Super Bowl at SoFi? So that is obviously the best case scenario. What's the worst case scenario?
The worst case scenario is that what happened in Detroit was in part because of what Matthew Stafford was doing. That's the first thing I thought of,
the quarterback situation actually, the Stafford wasn't the answer.
Right, that Stafford, the Lions stink doesn't wash off. That whatever is in the air in the Detroit Lion locker room just has permeated him and he can't get rid of it. That's the beginning of the worst case scenario, because that leads to you being stuck with him for a while, not having any draft picks, not having a ton of money to go spend as far as salary cap goes, because they've been handing out a lot of money to a lot of different people. Aaron Donald's injury doesn't heal completely, and all of a sudden he goes from being not only the best player at his position, but the best player in football to a regular NFL player. Those are the sort that Cam Akers continues to get injured, that he's unable to stay on the field. Andrew Whitworth looks like a 39-year-old guy coming back. There are some things that could happen, but I just think that the quarterback covers so many different things. I was watching something the other day. They're showing a bunch of highlights of him. He can move. I know he doesn't look like a great athlete as far as, you know, he doesn't look like a guy that's
move around the pocket and kind of buy himself some time, right?
He's amazing with what he can do in there.
Yeah, the worst-case scenario, like you mentioned, is if Stafford didn't work out or you realized, okay, this guy, how many playoffs games did he win in Detroit?
None.
He didn't win one?
No, he went to one and won
zero.
Oh,
he lost that one? Okay,
yeah.
So let's just say hypothetically it's that type of scenario, right? You get in the playoffs, but nothing really happens, and somebody else holds the Lombardi Trophy at SoFi in, you know, what could be the first year where there's actually fans inside.
Yeah, the worst case is not only do all of those things happen, but it's the beginning of a run where you can't get out of your own way. Mm. That's the one part about this that scares me a little bit is that if it does, it's such a bold move, which I love. It's such a move which is designed to win right away, which I love. If it doesn't work, now what?
Worth the gamble.
I honestly don't even know what the now what is, because it's not like, all right, well, we're not going to be very good. We'll fall down. We'll get a high draft pick, and we'll start. You don't have any high. Detroit's got them. there's nothing to bail yourself out at that point.
Trav, would you agree? 10 out of 10, just worth the gamble, right? You would do it over again. And I'm trying to think here. Yes, there is something you can lose, but I think you already knew with what you had, you're not going to win a Super Bowl. You're not going to get to a Super Bowl. It's worth the gamble.
I'll put it to you this way. You cannot go win a Super Bowl when your quarterback is the weakest link in your team. He doesn't have to be your best player, but he can't be the guy that everybody holds their breath every time you snap the ball. That can't be.
Yeah, that does not sound like a good combination.
And that's what it was, right? I mean, think about it. When the Rams were on offense, when, you know, the Omaha or Cali Berry or whatever Jared Goff would yell out, and that ball, you go, okay, get rid of it. Oh, okay, fine, we're good. Okay,
yeah, that's not good.
That's not going to be the case.
Where there's other quarterbacks where every time the ball is in the air, you know, you're saying this could be a touchdown. This could be that. How do you make a pass like that on and out? You know, just kind of using it as an example, you really didn't have that with Jared Goff.
All right, so the Dodgers got roughed up in a spring training game tonight. That doesn't matter, but what does matter is
how concerned are you?
Nope, not that. A big question in the starting rotation. We'll get into that next.
We got to talk Kershaw too. Got to talk Kershaw
for sure. 710 ESPN.